Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. Y'all, I tried so hard to not fangirl in this episode, but I got to interview Lauren Chandler, so that was really hard to not do. She is incredible. I have looked up to her for so long. She's such an encouragement and she is so good at pointing people to truth. And we got to have a conversation about her latest Bible study, which is With Us in the Wilderness. It is a study on the book of Numbers, but y'all, it is so good. And this conversation was so encouraging, especially if you feel like you're walking through a wilderness season or you know someone who is. I know that this is just going to be such an encouragement to you. So here is my conversation with Lauren. Lauren, it is such an honor to have you today. I'm so excited that you said yes to this. To get started, for those who might not know you, would you just kind of introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Caitlin. I'm just honored to chat with you today. So my name's Lauren Chandler. I am a pastor's wife. My husband is a pastor in the Dallas area. We've been at the same church for almost 19 years. We have three kids. My oldest is 18. She's kind of like my marker. I was pregnant with her when we got to the church. And so she'll be 19 early next year. And then I have a 15-year-old son. He's almost 16. And then a 12-year-old daughter. I got married pretty young. I was 19 when we got married. So we've been married 22 years. And I am a worship leader. I've written Bible studies. I've written a book, and I'm helping serve at our church in kind of various areas, in particular, like leadership development, which is new for our church. And I'm a native Texan. I love backyard bird watching and working in the yard and kind of tinkering up around the house with just an amateur designer, I guess. But basically, here's what I would say about myself. I love to connect people to truth in beautiful ways. So whether that's like through a song or through worship or through a Bible study or through, I've written children's books, I wrote a book kind of about Psalm 107. But aesthetics matter to me. I love nature. I love being curious and piquing other people's curiosity, in particular about God and who he is and who he's made us, and try to like do that in ways that are kind of aesthetically pleasing. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's me.
Tell me if this is true for you. I feel like there are certain occupations. So for like me, I always get asked, well, what's it like to be married to a farmer? Like, what is that like? That sounds intense. I assume that's same for being a pastor's wife, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yes, like farmer's wife, probably coach's wives too.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, okay, what is that like? And it is different, you know? And I think you'd probably say the same thing too, that it's like usually not a 9-to-5 job or 8-to-5 job where you clock in, clock out, and you're done. And so the way that it bears on our families is different. There are a lot of things that are the same. Like we are super similar to most other wives and women our age. But there are definitely challenges specific to what our husbands are called to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So tell me, in your newest Bible study, With Us in the Wilderness, out of all the books in the Bible, what in the world led you to write a Bible study over the book of Numbers?
I would say the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Yes. And probably my curiosity. I was doing a Bible reading plan, reading through the Bible. And actually, I had a She Reads Truth Bible, which I since gave away to someone. And I kind of regret it because it's so beautiful.
Oh.
But I was reading through it and has like devotions, you know, scattered throughout it. And it's really pretty to look at too. And so I was reading through and I got to Numbers and I went through all the names and the amounts of people and the census and all that stuff. But interspersed between all that were these stories. And I thought, man, this is really interesting. In particular, Balaam's story was interesting to me because I know he's considered like a bad guy. He's a bad prophet. Mm-hmm. But to me, when I'm reading it, I'm like, well, it sounds like he's just doing what God told him to do. How was he bad? And so I just was curious and started digging into numbers. And I had written a Bible study with Lifeway called Steadfast Love, based on Psalm 107, which was kind of written out of a book that I wrote called Steadfast Love. And they had come to me and they're like, hey, do you have any ideas about another Bible study? I said, well, is anyone writing one on numbers right now? And they said, no, not that we know of. And so that began a journey of trying to understand numbers for myself and find the beauty in numbers. Cause I'm like, okay, this is in the Bible. It's important. And I want to understand it, and I want to help other people understand it. I want to be kind of like a deep sea diver who goes down into the depths, you know, digs out some kind of treasure and is able to bring it up to the surface. That's what I wanted to do with numbers was, okay, I want to do the hard work of trying to figure out what's going on here and how to bring that up to the surface for other people to see and have them dig along with me. Like, to spoon feed anyone, but to be like, hey, join me like in this deep dive in discovering some real treasure here. And that's what I did. And that's why I wrote it. And honestly, what it did is it brought dimension and texture to the rest of scripture that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't done the deep dive in numbers. So even parts of the New Testament where I'm like, oh my gosh, they're talking about the wilderness generation. Oh my goodness, they're talking about Korah's rebellion. I knew what scripture was talking about because I'd done that deep dive in a pretty important group of people in the Old Testament. And so that's why I did it. And I'm really grateful I did.
That's awesome. Don't you just love how, like, when you start learning more and more about scripture,
yes,
the more it makes sense, like the whole, yes, Bible, how it's like, it's so perfectly weaved together that it, yes, just, it's mind blowing. Cause it's like, you can dig forever and just keep finding things. Yeah, like, absolutely, you never run out of things to learn about.
Yes.
But okay. So like, we're talking about, you know, God being with us in the wilderness. What are some examples, like maybe for someone listening that's like, well, maybe, yeah, I'm in a wilderness. I don't know. Like, what are some of the examples that you've heard from people who are walking or have walked through like a wilderness season?
Yeah, I would say what really marks the wilderness is usually just kind of feeling, I think there are different types of wildernesses. At least I've experienced them personally. I've seen other people experience them, but kind of feeling one ripped out of normalcy, where everything that, you know, either brought you comfort or you felt some kind of control or predictability is just gone. And you feel maybe disoriented. Maybe you feel dry. So when you think about the wilderness, there's nothing comforting about the landscape. It is raw. It's uncomfortable. I think the Lord can feel far, even though, you know, he's not, he feels far. And, mm-hmm, and it just is a difficult time. And sometimes it's a season that the Lord led you into, because we find that over and over in scripture where the Holy Spirit, you know, led Jesus into the wilderness. He led the people of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. Elijah went into a wilderness. And so it can be a time when the Lord's just kind of allowed something difficult, I would say our whole world's been in a type of wilderness with the pandemic, where, yeah, everything that felt normal and predictable has been just taken out from under our feet like a rug, you know, mm-hmm, and where what brought us comfort, what brought us peace outside of the Lord has been ripped out. And so I think the wilderness is a season for us to be uncomfortable, to not have control, so that we can find our comfort and our control in Jesus. And to be like, there's no one else that I can find hope in. There's no stability that I can find but in you. But it's difficult because he can at the same time feel kind of far, mm-hmm, there. And so it is somewhat of a trying to reach out in the darkness, but he is not far. And then I think also what happened with this wilderness generation in Numbers is God might have led you into the wilderness to remind you of who he is and that he's enough, and to remind you that you're his. And that's the only way you can define yourselves, that you're going to find any kind of satisfaction. But it was their rebellion that kept them there. And so, you know, it was 40 years that they wandered in addition to what the Lord had for them. They didn't have to wander for 40 years. They refused to trust God that he was going to do what he said he was going to do by delivering them into the promised land. And they hardened their hearts and they're like, I don't know if we can trust you, God. Even though he'd shown them all along the way, parting the Red Sea, providing manna, providing quail, providing water from the rock, protecting them from the curse of the king of Moab and from armies. Like the Lord, they said, I still don't trust you. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And it kept them wandering. And so I think there are wilderness seasons that the Lord can lead us into. And if we will look to him and endure patiently and trust him and be willing to have him point to our idols and uproot them, then it doesn't, we don't have to spend extended time in that wilderness. We have an opportunity to repent where we need to. But if we don't, we do risk wandering in that dry wasteland longer than we were meant to.
Yeah. And I think you talk about in this study, you know, their disobedience had consequences and they had to pay the cost. But you had a quote that was, though they lacked faith, the Lord did not lack faithfulness. Right. And I remember, I don't know, a few years back, I was walking through just a season of wilderness and mm-hmm. I was talking to my pastor and I was like, I just don't feel God. Like, why mm-hmm. does he feel so far away? And he said, well, you can feel like that, but your feelings don't change God's truth. And
that's right.
God isn't far away. And I think about that all the time. Like, you know, it's like he might feel far away in a wilderness season, but he's not.
That's right.
But what do you say to someone who, I mean, goodness, some wilderness seasons are so long. What do you say to someone who feels like it's never going to end?
Yeah, I would say I'm so sorry. And I would say that we have a high priest, Jesus, who sympathizes with our weakness. And so, I mean, he knows in a way that I hope is comforting to you. So it's not like that is foreign to him and he doesn't know what you're going through. He understands and he is with you and that it will not last forever. And it's okay. I think it's okay to just to rest in the midst of the wilderness. I think so many times that's the thing. They observed the Sabbath in the wilderness. They did. And mm-hmm. God still provided for them. And so even if you're in the wilderness and you feel tired, you can rest and you don't have to perform for God. You do not have to earn his favor or his love. Sure. If you're in like sin and rebellion and your heart is hardened towards that, then I would say examine your heart and grieve over your sin. Ask for a contrite heart, but some of it could just be this season. And maybe the Lord is trying to show you that he loves you and he is with you, even when you feel like you have nothing to offer, even when you feel like I can't be like a spirit sprinkled Christian right now, I'm just struggling. Mm-hmm. And the Lord is no less pleased than you in that moment, because it's not about your performance. It's about you believing that Jesus is enough and what he did on the cross is enough, that his resurrection is enough for you. And so I'd say, don't listen to the enemy who would want to condemn you, who would want to shame you and would speak lies of, well, if only you ... But you can sit down in the midst of your wilderness and rest in God's grace for you and ask him, cry out to him, Lord, I don't feel you. I don't feel your nearness, but I know you are near. Would you let me feel you again? And
yeah.
So just not to feel shame or condemnation there, or like that you have to perform to get out of the wilderness, but to just to cry out to him, to trust that his grace is enough for you. And to fight, to believe and ask him to just help you.
Yeah. And I think that plays in. I hear so many times people talk about how lonely the wilderness is too. Like when you're walking through a season, how just that loneliness is really heavy. And I think all of that also plays in to when that loneliness sets in, knowing that he's right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm curious, when you were doing all of your deep diving and really going through this book, you know, we know that the Old Testament, I mean, the whole Bible is woven together, but what did the Book of Numbers, I guess, what did you discover about it fitting into the overarching redemptive story of Scripture?
Yeah, I think you just see shadows of Jesus through it all, where even, I mean, there's so much there. You see how, like, the camp, how God had them set up camp was to have the tribes orderly around, like set up around the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was where the presence of God dwelt. It's where they saw, it's where Moses met with God. It's where Aaron and the high priests interceded for the people, the offerings happened. It's where worship happened, and it symbolized the presence of God with his people. And I think for us now as Christians, our lives are to be set up similarly, where at the center of our lives is the presence of God. Like, he has to be the center of our lives, or everything else does not work. So the truth of the gospel, that Jesus is the high priest that enters in for us, that he tore the veil that kept us from being like Moses and entering in, or being like Aaron entering in, that we get to enter into God's presence because of Jesus's sacrifice for us, that it wasn't the blood of goats or bulls or rams, but it was the blood of Christ that is more than enough to cover us. And our whole lives hinge on the gospel, and that this isn't it, that we are still, you know, sojourners on this earth, and that one day there will be a promised land for us where we are with God and he is with his people in a new way, like we see in Revelation, where there's no sun because he himself is our light and our sun, and that he will remake heaven and earth, and that we'll dwell with him and we will reign with him. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's just all over Numbers. And so that's kind of the big picture in what the Lord had for his people. But then you see the rebellious and the hard-hearted that want their way and would rather be at the center of their lives. And every time they do that, they sabotage the good that God has for them and the promises that he will fulfill for them. So, you know, it's kind of exchanging the truth for a lie. And I mean, we see that now where there are people that are like, I don't want God as my king. I want to be king. And the chaos that comes from that, and the wandering, and the dissatisfaction, discontentment, and the groping for any kind of leaf, fig leaf, to cover them up from what they know is broken, but they refuse to go to the one who should be at the center. So yeah, that's where I see Numbers fitting into the whole of Scripture, where you can see where it is a shadow of what God is ultimately doing in the New Testament and in our day to day.
Yeah, I love that.
Hey friends, we're just taking a short break. I want to tell you real quick about the Dwell app. Dwell is a Bible app that I have been using, and I have absolutely fallen in love with it. It has changed the way that I am listening and reading and soaking in Scripture. Dwell has built the most beautiful reading and listening experience for the Scriptures. They have all of these handpicked voices that engage and inspire you, and you can even listen to background music as you're listening to the Scriptures. I'll tell you that my favorite way to listen currently is I listen to the Felix voice with background music, and I don't know why, but I am remembering the Scriptures so much better. One of the coolest things about Dwell is their new read-along experience. If you've ever seen Apple Music's lyrics feature, then that's exactly what you can expect from Dwell's read-along feature. They also have listening plans, playlists, sleep timers, and so much more. But I am telling you, you are going to love the Dwell app as much as I do. And they were kind enough to give our listeners a discount. So if you go to dwellapp.io/boldlypursuing, you can get 10% off of a yearly subscription or 33% off of Dwell for Life. That is a $50 discount. So I encourage you guys, go get this app, try it out. You are going to love it. Again, just go to dwellapp.io/boldlypursuing. And now back to our conversation.
What do you think, like when we're walking through a wilderness season, is that season, I mean, I know I've heard people say like, well, what was the point of that? Do you think they just go to waste? Are they for nothing?
Oh no. I mean, they're never for nothing. I think the Lord accomplishes probably different things through different wilderness seasons. And for me personally, there have been times where there's been a wilderness season where God needed to adjust my understanding of who he is, where I had seen him as someone I needed to please instead of a God who was already pleased because of Christ. Mm-hmm. I tend to be more of a perfectionist, pleaser, earner. And so there was a season where I felt like I just couldn't get it right. And I kept failing and I was coming up short. And that was my wilderness season. It was the Lord saying, guess what? You got me wrong. And so I'm going to show you who I really am. And that is kind of what the Lord did for the people in Numbers. And then I've gone through a wilderness season where he used kind of the longing and the dry season to grow my prayer life. Mm-hmm. Because that is something you see is the people crying out to God. You see Moses having this intimate relationship with God because he's utterly dependent on leading these people. And so I think wilderness seasons can be an opportunity to grow your prayer life. I think they're a great opportunity to be a comfort to those who go through wilderness seasons too. And so it grows you in compassion and understanding and sympathy so that you can be a blessing to someone else who's going through a similar situation. So I have not had one wilderness season yet that felt like a waste.
Yes, same. So I'm curious, in all of your like deep diving, do you have like a favorite story from Numbers or like a favorite thing that you discovered from all of your research?
Yeah, I was really perplexed by, like I said, Balaam, mm-hmm. where, you know, this evil king hires him to speak curses over Israel. And he's like, well, I'm just going to say whatever the Lord tells me. And I just thought it was interesting. It's like, I know Balaam's a bad guy in the story. Like we see that because of other parts in scripture that say, hey, don't be like Balaam. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing it's because he was, and what, not just guessing, but understood that it's because he was crooked and he was an opportunist and he was trying to make money off of this. And that by making money off of a gift that God had given him and not in righteous ways. But I thought it was so interesting that here this whole thing's going on above Israel's head. So they're up on a mountain so that Balaam can throw curses on the people of Israel and he can only bless them. The words that come out are only blessing. God makes him only bless Israel. And Israel has no idea. They don't know the peril they're in and they don't know the blessings being spoken over them until later, obviously, because somebody wrote about it in Numbers, most likely Moses. And so I thought that was really interesting that they were passive participants and how, who knows what is happening in the heavenlies for us as God's people, when maybe there's something happening that wants to hurl curses down on us and we have no clue. And the Lord's like, I'm going to bless them because they're mine. And I'm going to use what was meant to be a curse to be a blessing on them instead. And it encourages me to pray for that, to be like, Lord, if there's any kind of curse coming at me from somewhere, Lord, would you turn it to a blessing? And would I not squander, you know, that blessing?
Yeah.
And so I just think it's neat that they were just, they had no clue. And here the Lord was working on their behalf.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So what do you hope that someone who does the study walks away with or walks away knowing about God?
Yeah. I say this a lot in the videos, I think. More than anything, I just want them to have an encounter with the living God. I want him to just show up for them. And it It could be just the most, it could be the day that you draw the lampstand, you know. There's a point where I have people draw a lampstand, and I had a friend do it, and she sent me a picture of hers, and it was just hilarious. And I was like, yes, you did it. But I want them to have an encounter with him, to see him for who he is in scripture, to see that you can find him in what feels like the most obscure book of the Bible, and that you would see that even in the midst of the people's complaining and murmuring and even rebellion, that he did not forsake them. Mm. And so how much more, if you're willing to say, God, I don't want to murmur. I don't want to complain. I don't want to rebel. I want to know you, and I want to live a life that pleases you. How much more will he not forsake us, you know? Because I'm guessing if you're picking up this Bible study, you probably do feel like you're in a wilderness, you're dry. And so maybe you're questioning, or maybe you're like, I'm in the wilderness. I don't even know. Am I a Christian? Do I even love God? Am I even his? The fact that you would pick up this Bible study or say yes to a friend that invited you shows that something's stirring in you. And Satan tends to not stir us towards the Bible or Jesus.
Right.
And so he is stirring something in you towards you, and he's wooing you. And there's something in you that is being drawn to that. And so I would say, if you're questioning, there's something happening, and be encouraged that the Lord is working in the midst of this dry season, this wilderness, and he is drawing you towards himself. And don't trust your feelings right now, but trust who he is, who he says he is, and how he has been faithful to his people for generations and will continue to be faithful to you.
Oh, yes. I love that. Okay. So this is funny. Last night I had an Instagram follower message me, and she said, hey, my teenage daughter is looking for a Bible study. Do you know of any? You did a With Us in the Wilderness for teenage girls too, right?
Yes, I did. And so I can't take full credit because I wrote the adult Bible study. And then there's a great team at Lifeway that took my study and just made it more palatable for girls. Didn't change a ton, but just kind of made it more relatable for teen girls. And so, and I trust them because yes, I have a teenage daughter, and I have another almost teenage daughter, but this team really knows what hits with teenage girls. And so I'm super proud of it. I'm so excited and so grateful for the team to want to do this. The videos are still the same. They're real short. I tend to do short videos. I don't do the long teaching because I do like to connect people to truth in beautiful ways. And one of the ways I do that is we have shot on location. So my first Bible study, we were on a beautiful beach in Florida. And then for this one, we were in Glacier National Park in Montana, which was just incredible.
It's gorgeous there.
It's so beautiful. And so it's not really conducive for like long form teaching because I usually don't have a podium. I have to memorize what I'm saying. And it's usually like there's some kind of natural element that throws a kink in it all, where at Glacier, it was just really windy. And so like my hair was all over the place. The wind nearly blew me off the side of the mountain. But we got really good footage and it looks really cool. So anyway, so I think that's also really good for teenage girls because, you know, my girls don't always have the longest attention span. So yeah, I think it's great. And I think you could even, I think a grown woman could do the teen Bible study and still get a lot out of it. And then I think a teenager, hopefully it would be just more relatable, more palatable for her.
Okay. Well, will you tell everyone where can they go to get either one of these?
Yep. The best place is Lifeway's website, lifeway.com. I think if you just put my name in, a whole page will come up with all the Bible studies. What's great is you can rent the videos for pretty cheaply. So you don't have to deal with a DVD if you don't have a DVD player. In fact, who has one?
Right.
our internet went out the other day and I was sick. And so we were stranded at home and nothing worked. Like we can't get TV, you know, so, but I wasn't feeling great. So even like reading a book or trying to do a puzzle, it just was like, oh, I can't focus long enough. And so my husband went to Walmart and bought a $25 DVD player and rented Redbox movies. And so we watched movies on a DVD player. But so if you're like us and, you know, didn't have a DVD player before then you can just rent them and watch them on your laptop or, you know, stream them to your TV. And that's the best place to get them is Lifeway's website.
Okay. And then where can people find you to follow you? Because you are such an encouragement and you are so good at pointing people to the truth.
Thanks. Well, I have a website, laurenchandler.com. I'm not super great at keeping it up to date, but I try. And then I'm probably most active on Instagram. So at Lauren Chandler. I have a Facebook page, but Instagram's probably where I spend most of the time because it's more visual and I like that. And I feel like people on Instagram are a little bit nicer than everyone else.
Yes.
So that's where I spend most of my time.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that we didn't get to talk about that you wanted to make sure you got said?
No, I think there's some good stuff that I wasn't necessarily planning on saying that kind of just came to me in the moment. And yeah, I just, for anyone listening that is in the wilderness, that just want to encourage them. It won't last forever. It will not be wasted. And the Lord is with you in the midst of it. And there's a worship song called Christ Be Magnified. I think Cody Carnes sings it. And one of the lyrics of the bridge comes to me where he says, I won't be formed my feet by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. And so just wanting to just remind you that, you know, don't be formed by your feelings. Yes, listen, I am a feeler. I feel things before I think them. And they're important. I heard someone say that feelings are like your kids. You're not going to let them drive, but you're also not going to stuff them in the trunk. You know, they're going to sit in the back seat or in the front seat with their seatbelt fine. So don't ignore them. Pay attention to them. They're telling you something, but don't be formed by them. Don't let them drive and don't stuff them. So, you know, won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast what is true, that God is with you. He is for you. He is good. And this won't last forever.
So good. All right. Well, Lauren, again, thank you so much. This was so encouraging. And I know that so many people are going to be encouraged by it today.
Well, thanks for having me, Caitlin. I'm so just grateful to chat with you today.
Oh.